All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsher. Thank you for joining me on this little brisk Saturday, October 28th, 2017. Always a pleasure to have my man, Woody Lash and co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop in the studio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Anthony.
Always bittersweet to see you the last show of the year, but it's always good to see you.
Anyway. Well, listen, thanks for having me. I'm honored to do the first and last show of the year. Always honored.
Well, you always, and you get one in between too, but it's always, you know, you've been a supporter of the program for a number of years now, and really appreciate your participation, but more important, your friendship that we've been able to cultivate over the years, and it's meant a lot.
Well, thanks. I mean, I love what you do. I love the show. Love your friendship, but. You know, talking golf, what can go wrong?
Exactly. If not even we can screw that up.
Yeah.
But I want, before we're going to take a short break, because when we get back, I want to get in touch. We got the Long Island Golf Association Executive Director, Doug Vergeth, on the line. So when we get back, we'll talk to him. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and my co-host for today is Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. And on the line is the executive director of the Long Island Golf Association, Doug Vergeth. Doug, how are we doing this morning?
Doing great, Anthony. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and a double pleasure to have the great Woody Lashin with us.
He's the best, isn't he?
Tremendous.
Doug, let's start with the year that you've had. You've had a great season. Maybe a couple of the highlights from the season that, if you will, from the 2017 season.
Sure. We did have a great season. The weather was favorable. A big part of our schedule is back end loaded in September and October, and I think it was one of the best October golf months ever. But our first major of the year was the Long Island Open at West Hampton in the first week in June. And the winner there was J.D. Ganay, a young Irishman who just went to work as an assistant at Piping Rock, shot 206, 4-under, a sterling last round. The West Hampton Country Club could not have been better, and that was just a spectacular event. And then 2 weeks later, our premier amateur competition was played at St. George's Golf and Country Club in connection with the club's 100th anniversary. And the winner there was Garrett Engel. The final match is a 36-hole match. Garrett won in 38 holes with a birdie on the second extra hole, beating Michael Miranda. So those were two early highlights of our season and just terrific events that we thoroughly enjoyed.
You know, Doug, as one of the golfers gets to participate in some of your tournaments, I think for me, one of the biggest highlights is the great golf courses that you guys are able to get to have hold these competitions on, and the way that they treat us as players, and obviously you as the LIGA, of just, you know, opening their doors up and say, hey, you know, here, you're a member for the day or for as long as you last in a tournament, and the conditions are great. You know, I got to play at St. George's this year, and wow, that was, I haven't had a chance to play there in a long time. I know it's your home club, but I was amazed at what had changed there and how incredible it was from what I remember from the probably last time I played it from 10 years ago.
Yeah, thanks, Woody. It really, been a lot of tree work done there, and we've been working on a master plan with Gil Hance for the last 10 years under the leadership of my friend John Ammerman. And, yeah, it's really, really good and kind of we think of it as a hidden gem.
It sure is.
Yeah.
It sure is.
But Woody, going back to what you were saying about our tournaments, I just have to say, you know, my job is to go around to these clubs and set up the tournaments. And in planning a tournament, I go and sit down with the golf course superintendent, the golf professional, and the general manager and plan out all the details of the tournament. And those professionals on Long Island, Anthony and Woody, they're just the most professional. All they want to do is make their place perfect for the days that we're there. And it's such a pleasure to work with them.
It's really, for a player, it's just amazing. And, you know, in today's economy where golf courses are, you know, they're trying to get outings for their revenue, and for them to give up a golf course, you know, for example, give up a golf course for the Long Island Amateur and giving up for, you know, good part of 4 days, it's a testament that the golf course you guys continue to get is of that high quality.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Talk a little bit about the you just recently had the Richardson 2 as well, and you moved that to the that's now going at the end of the year, and
it used to be the first tournament of the year,
second to last. But yeah. That was that used to always be the unofficial opening to amateur season in golf on Long Island, but it seems to have found a new home at the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, we always struggled with the weather.
Yep.
In May. You know, it's right on the water. The normal water temperature in May, the ocean temperature is probably 45 degrees.
Yep.
And we just really have struggled with the weather there. So the club asked us to move the event to the fall, and we were happy to do so. And the golf course conditions are just totally different. I mean, it's just so good. Brian Benedict is the superintendent there and does a fantastic job. We had a terrific field of 105 players, which really we have just a little bit less daylight in October than we have in May. So we have a little bit smaller field, but we were very happy with the way it worked out, the condition of the golf course. The event was won by Gerard Connolly, who's another Irishman, lives in Brooklyn, and actually has been on the DL for the last couple of years. He had some shoulder surgery and some other physical problems. Just had a tremendous last match with Brett Cooper, who plays at Seawayne and was the defending champion. Boy, they really lit it up. Brett birdied the first three holes of the final match and was only one up after three, and Gerard just played stellar golf after that.
You know, it's funny, Doug. One of the things I love about amateur golf is I love the camaraderie. And the week after, I was playing in the Saracen, and as I was finishing, I saw Gerard and Brett teeing off on a 10th hole. And I'm like, they paired you two guys together. You just battled it out last week. And they're both smiling and laughing. And, I mean, that's the great thing about our amateur golf is, you know, here's two guys. They were battling it out to the end, but they're great guys. I love both of those guys. I got to play with Gerard, actually, at the NASA Invitational. And I played with Brett at Richardson, the qualifying. And they, you know, they're just happy to be out there playing and, you know, trying to compete. And it's great stuff.
Yeah, no, it's really true. The camaraderie, the friendship, guys are trying to beat each other's brains in while they're playing. But that doesn't mean that they're not complimenting the other guy's good shots, respecting what the other guy is doing, and the whole spirit of competition is at a very high level. And isn't that what makes golf such a great game, Woody?
Yeah, absolutely is. Absolutely is.
You know, you guys were talking about the and Woody particularly was talking about the testament to the how much support the LIGA gets from local clubs from around Long Island. We were talking about Seawayne, and Seawayne has been so good to the LIGA. They only, I'm not sure how many years, but I mean, after the Sandy, they only missed maybe, I know they had to do some rework after some of the, you know, after the storm, but I think you guys only missed maybe one or two seasons with them, and they were right back on the horse. I mean, it's just a testament to how much they enjoy having you guys.
Yeah, that's right. The club support couldn't be nicer. I had lunch while we were there for the tournament with the new president of Seawayne, Alan Jacobs, and Paul Cooper, who's on the board, Brett's dad. and they couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been more welcoming. This was the 70th playing of the Richardson, and Anthony, what you said is right. We missed 1 year because of Sandy, 1 year only.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. You know, where most clubs would be trying to regroup and recover, here they were. They obviously I remember you had to move that one year, and then they were back at it. So just tremendous, I think, effort on their part, and just shows you how much they like being a part of the LIGA schedule.
Yeah, they're just they couldn't be nicer to us. Great club, and we love the golf course. It's just terrific.
I wanted to move on to the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. To me, this is one of my favorite things to follow during the year. I love what you guys do in terms of trying to, you know, maintain an institution like Caddy's, whereas it's becoming more and more difficult so to do so. And, you know, talk a little bit about the year you had with that.
Sure. We had 33 new caddy recipients. Our scholarship fund started in 1962. We now have awarded over 760 scholarships for over $4 million in that time.
Wow.
This year we had 33 new recipients, and we have 111 kids in total. Scholarships are renewable for up to 4 years of undergraduate study. So once the kids get their scholarship for the first year, they send us evidence that they're still in school, and we send them another check. $2,500 a year is the max, so it can go up to $10,000 for the 4 years. And the 33 kids, I just can't say enough about the 33 outstanding young people that we awarded this year. We have an awards ceremony every year, Anthony, each of the kids bring their family. We have over 100 people there, caddy masters, golf professionals, our board, and each of the 33 kids gets up and gives a little 2 or 3 minute talk in which they go over their experiences as a caddy, other interests that they have, where they're going to go to college and what they're going to study, and a little bit about what they want to do. And this year was just, it's just so exhilarating to see these young people. They're not sitting in their bedroom playing video games. They're out and active and giving back to the community. And what it really illustrates, we think there's three huge benefits of caddying, Anthony. They learn the value of hard work. They learn to love golf, and caddying is a feeder system for the game. And they interact with successful adults in a different way than almost any job that you can think of. And it really gives them an important perspective on the world, I think.
You know, Doug, as a former caddy myself, that's how I got into the game. And all three of those things I absolutely learned and have made me who I am today. No question, if I was not, I wouldn't be playing golf, I think, if I was caddying, because my parents didn't play golf. And, you know, just meeting these people, and it's really it's all world. And what you guys do with the scholarship to help those kids with the, you know, $2,500 goes a long way to helping pay for stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. They're very appreciative, and again, I just can't say what a great group of kids, and a diverse group, and several of them are playing Division One golf. So many of them played on their high school team, but aren't good enough to play in college. But there were a handful of kids that are really competent players in addition to being good caddies.
And there's a lot of success stories, obviously, that come out of that. But my favorite one is Mike Sullivan, who's now with the MGA. I mean, that alone is fantastic.
Yeah, yep. Michael started in the caddy yard at Garden City Country Club as a teenager. Got an interest in the game. Played golf at St. John's, and a few years later. Had enough business success to be able to join Garden City Country Club, and eventually became the president of the club, has been the president of the Caddy Scholarship Fund now for 15 years. And as you mentioned, Anthony is our president of the LIGA for the last 2 years, and just started is finishing his first year as president of the MGA. So that is really a great story, and he taught. But there are others as well. There are a number of successful people around Long Island that got their start as caddies and still help us give back.
Sure. How about the I wanted to say that the Player of the Year race was going to be somewhat, you know, contested or a little heated coming down the stretch, but it looks like, you know, I'm not sure what the final tally is from the Sarazen, but Darren Goldstein seems like you're at this point the Player of the Year, if I'm not mistaken, for the second time in a row.
Actually, it's the third year in a row, Anthony. And your observation is correct, is that there wasn't a lot of excitement down at the end of the year. I think Darren won by nearly 600 points.
Wow.
You know, 300 is a pretty big margin of victory.
Right.
He won by almost 600 points. It was his third in a row. And, really a stellar year. He's a terrific, to Woody's comment about guys that are fun to play with and gracious winners and gracious losers. Darren's just a terrific young man. And he really had some great success in mid-amateurs. He qualified for the U.S. Mid-amateur. He was second in the New York State mid-amateur. He was third in the Long Island mid-amateur. And he just 2 weeks ago won the Met mid-amateur at Bayonne.
Wow.
So that's, and of course, a lot of other events that he scored points in. So three in a row for Darren.
I'm happy to see him win. He's a great guy. I love him.
Yeah.
Always happy to talk and you know, talk to you about golf. And I talked to him at the Sarazen last week. And, you know, you wouldn't know he was Player of the Year.
It's true. He's a very humble and just an all-around good guy.
Doug, before I let you go, I want to just maybe if you could just talk a little bit about maybe what you love about the LIGA and as the executive director, maybe some of the you know, what you've enjoyed the most over the years of being involved in the with the LIGA.
Sure. The one thing is what I mentioned before about the privilege and pleasure it is to work with the golf course superintendents and the club managers and golf professionals in setting up our events. I know about what the average golfer knows about agronomy, but I spend time with the superintendents at every event and ask questions and try to learn. And what the superintendents do on Long Island, and just one golf course after another that's just in outstanding condition, it just is terrific to see, and they're just great people and a pleasure to work with. And then I guess the second thing I'd say, Anthony, is we have a terrific group of volunteers. You know, I'm the only full-time employee of the Long Island Golf Association. We have a couple people, John Silberg, John McGrath, that help us on a part-time basis and an intern. But we have a tremendous group of volunteers that come out and help us run our tournaments. They make rulings. They monitor the pace of play. They help players spot golf balls, and we could not do what we do without them. And we always have a good turnout. We have enough people. You know, for example, at the Long Island Amateur, Woody mentioned at St. George's, the first morning there's 16 matches, and we have an official with every single match that goes with a match, that announces the score, that watches, decides who's away on every shot. And so we could not do what we do without this great group of volunteers. They're terrific to work with. You know, they come early, they stay late, and that's something that makes my job really fun and really interesting, Anthony.
Well, Doug, I want to just, before I let you go, just want to let you know how much I appreciate your support and the LIGA's support. As Woody mentioned in the beginning of the show, I love talking golf. And, you know, I love doing the show, but probably my favorite thing is meeting people like yourself, like Woody, Jim Dunn, and a lot of the people from the LIGA. So I really appreciate your support over the years.
Thanks, Anthony. And let me just say about Woody. Woody and Pete's Golf is a sponsor of the LIGA, has been for years and years and years. A friend of mine just got fitted with Woody and just raves about that he's the best fitter on Long Island, of course, the only Golf Digest top 100 fitter on Long Island. So Woody's an important part of our association.
Oh, thanks, Doug. I love what you guys do. I appreciate all the time that you put in. And I mean, it's I love golf. I love what you got, what Anthony does, what you guys do. So I'm happy to be able to help in a little bit way and be involved. It's just great.
Yeah, thanks.
Well,
thanks, Woody.
Thanks again for joining us this morning, Doug.
Thanks,
we really
Doug.
Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. That was Doug Vergeth, the executive director of the LIGA. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Hi, I'm Dr. Frank Rossi of Cornell University. As the stewards of New York's golf courses, superintendents are dedicated to protecting our natural resources. In heavily developed areas like Long Island, golf courses offer large expanses of open space that provide environmental benefits, such as allowing water to infiltrate into the ground naturally and providing habitat for native species such as bees and butterflies. To help manage golf courses in harmony with the environment, the state's golf industry has established a comprehensive best management practices program to educate and serve as a resource for superintendents. For more information, see our website at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag. Designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game, PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Woody. Woody, we got about 7 minutes or so left, and I wanted to talk about your year. You had a great year, of course, Pete's Golf, but you also recently were in Arizona for a little summit. And I think the thing that I love about that and what I like about you and Pete's Golf is that you guys never seem to rest on your laurels. Yes, you're a top 100 fitter for Golf Digest, but you're always willing to learn. And I think that's the most important thing when you're trying to stay ahead of the curve on things and you want to be informed. It's very easy to be when you've been successful like you guys have been for as long as you have to fall into that I know what's best sort of know-it-all kind of attitude. But the idea of constantly trying to keep up with the new technology, learning what's coming out, and staying ahead of the curve, I think is part of why you're so successful. What was going on in Arizona that brought you out there?
You know, there's a hashtag I love, by the way. It's always learning.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think one of the reasons why we've had success for as long as we've had is that we love golf, right? So we love talking golf. We love learning about golf. There's something to learn. So Mark Timms of Cool Clubs put together this symposium, and it was probably 80% teaching and 20% club fitting. And so it's more teaching. But I think they had 15 of the top 50 golf instructors there.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Adams who was number two, was leading the show. But they had Terry Rawls. It just went
Mike
on.
Mike Hebron, local Mike, Long Island. Yeah,
I just got to say something. So we're there for 3 days. Here's Mike Hebron. No offense, he's by far the oldest guy in the room.
Sure, he's pushing.
He is sitting in the front. He is asking better questions than anybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's amazing.
Yeah.
I take my hat off to him. I mean, here he is. Most of the guys, I know, I've been there, done it. He's trying to learn and get better.
Yeah, well into his 70s.
I went and told him as much.
Uh-huh.
Because I love that. I hope that's me someday.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to learn. So, if you will, as a club fitter, if I can learn what the modern teachers are doing and what they're learning, it can help me with my fitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went, there's a couple of, Dr. Sasha McKenzie was there, and he did a great, presentation on some staff studies that he's done. He, if you will, the little bit of cost to go to the seminar, he gave us information that he's worked on for years, and answered questions, just really great stuff to learn and try and, mm-hmm. again, get better at my craft and pass it on to the guys at back at the shop. And what the really cool thing is that A lot of times in golf, you get these guys, I know it all, and I'm not going to tell anybody anything. I'm not going to, these are my trade secrets.
Like they have the, right, I was just going to say, like they have the Hogan secret.
Yeah. And, and to have these guys sharing what they're doing, trying to help other teachers get better, trying to get other fitters get better, it's really cool. I mean, I had some discussions with a couple guys about fitting and what I do, and they're like, oh, wow, you do that? Wow. I mean, it was just great to be in that environment around a bunch of people that just want to get better at what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic that someone like Cool Clubs would even put on an event like this, invite people to do this, and the fact that it was well attended by people like Mike Hebron and Adams, like you said, is a tribute to, it's just, I guess it's a testament to the fact that there are a community of people like yourself who have no ego and just want to get better at what they do.
Yeah. No doubt.
Play a little golf while you're out there? What's going on?
Played one round while I was out there. Ball goes forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want, like, you need an ego boost, you need to go out there, play for a little while, and then come back, you know, you're hitting, you know, wedges and or seven irons. Like,
goes forever.
Goes forever. Well, anything else while for you know, that you interesting for the year that you've had? It's been a good year.
It's been a good year. I mean, the golf season, really interesting. You know, August was probably our worst weather.
Right.
Look at today. Go play today. It's gorgeous. Golf course in great shape.
We've had shows where we were like, winter's here. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Frost delays. I mean, every...
Frost delays, there's no chance of you playing at all.
Right. And we've been stealing days in October.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got to play a bunch of golf in October, and it's just been spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. Any particular places that you've played this year that you've particularly enjoyed?
A few. I'll tell you what I did. I got to play golf with Eric Compton.
Oh, okay.
Who is, you know, I don't know if you know, but, you know, he's been playing the PGA Tour for 10 years or so. He's had two heart transplants. My wife has had a heart transplant, so it's very close to my heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look up to someone like that, like, oh, I'm, you know, is he going to be the guy that I think he is? And he was better than the guy that I thought he would be. He was such a gentleman, such a good guy. And watching him, he can't do things the way everyone else does. He's got to do things differently because the drugs that you have to take to keep you alive after the transplant don't allow you to function. And just was so cool to meet him. That was the highlight of my my golf season, to get a chance to play golf with him. And
I think it's important, though. I think it's important in the sense that it's always good to meet the people. Well, when the people that you know look up to or you want to meet, regardless for whatever reason, when they meet expectations or exceed them, is it's really nice.
Yeah, he exceeded expectations. Just great guy.
Well, that's it for this week, folks. I want to just take a second to thank the Pete's Golf for their support, the Long Island Golf Course, Golf Association, PXG, and of course, certainly last but not least, of my favorite group of guys, the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association in Long Island. So they're just a tremendous group of guys, and I really appreciate them being a supporter of the program. It's been a great year with them, and speaking with Tom Kaplan over the year. And so just really appreciate their support. And it's always a bittersweet end. It'd be nice to sleep in on Saturday morning, but I do love doing the show, and I look forward to when it's Masters Week again.
We'll see you Masters Week.
That's right. Before you know it, it'll be here.
That's right.
All right, folks, thank you very much for another great season. Season number 7 is in the books. Have a great year. We'll talk to you in April.